Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Today, Ed, we're going to look at They Live, the origins of They Live in comics. But first,
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor, serializing my Red Room comic strip, and issue one is up there right now. $3 will get you the complete archive. I'm going to immediately begin serializing issue two the following week, and this is for the early adopter. It'll get a print edition sometime in 2021. This is a page I drew this past week. I'm very, very proud of, man.
That's an awesome page. Love the lettering.
Poker face. I want to see cosplayers adorn this if they ever start comic conventions up again.
How about Halloween, man?
Yeah, that too. If they start off Halloween again, because I definitely let no COVID kids come to my house.
My latest comic, Octobrion in 1976, world's first blacklight comic, is in stores now everywhere. And if you can't find a hard copy, it's available now on Comixology, both all of the variants as one, and then also the process zine, 350 pages of the making of this comic, scans of original art, all that good stuff, available now on Comixology, in addition to comic book stores everywhere. But the reason we're here, Ed,
yes,
one of my favorite movies, John Carpenter's They Live, found out that its origins come from Alien Encounters number 6, the Eclipse Comics, from 1986, that famous year in comics history. And Alien Encounters was an anthology comic of sci-fi type stories. We are interested in one particular story in this issue called Nada that is written by Ray Nelson. And this is kind of the basis. John Carpenter has said, you know, one of the big influences on They Live and the movie itself is based on a story called 8 o'clock in the Morning by Ray Nelson. And you can find that online. It ran in a science fiction magazine in November 1963, the year JFK was assassinated, for anybody that wants to connect those conspiracy threads. It's a short 5 pages, the prose. This one, I think, is 6 or 8 pages, and we'll go through it. Artwork in this by Bill Ray. It's very interesting because all the ingredients for the movie They Live are in here, and we'll kind of go through this and look at those ingredients. But of course, the movie is very, very different than the short story, even though the concept and the execution and the groundwork is there. It's almost like these are the rules of this world. They Live is a very talented filmmaker interpreting or applying those rules to a different, a slightly different story, even though Nada is the main character in both.
Dig. This Bill Ray art is amazing, and he's a guy like that. I feel like we're lucky to have him do any comics that he does. Most famously, he would be known for the stuff that you remember from Ren and Stimpy, like those when there's like a crazy painting close up of like exposed nerves in your teeth or something. Like, that's Bill Ray, and definitely one of my favorite artists in like period.
Yeah, super talented, because he does have an animation career, you know, Ren and Stimpy, Samurai Jack, several others. He also has a pretty lengthy comics career, did a lot of Mad Magazine work,
yeah.
Hellboy Jr. I think he might have drawn one of the first comics I ever read, which was a Cracked Magazine Predator strip. So he has a long legacy in both of those fields, and he's recognized as a landscape painter these days and has won awards for that as well. And what he paints are like urban L.A. scenes and industrial scenes, which he says they're disappearing quickly. He's trying to get records of these places, you know, before they're basically gentrified and turned into condos or whatever, or strip malls. So it's kind of interesting when you think of all the different what he's coming from in terms of his eye and what he's looking at applied to something like this material.
It feels like, and his work has always felt like, it's a quote unquote real artist coming into this, you know, the commercial medium.
Yeah, I think that's a good description. So page one here, they waste no time. And I will say this adaptation, it's exactly what the prose story is. Like, it's that's really it. Faithful. And, it, you know, the writer's credited as the writer on the comic strip, too. So I don't know if that was just him signing off and letting Eclipse produce this, or if he was actually in here tweaking it and you know, providing something of a script. But it starts out with Nada is at this seeing this magic kind of hypnotist act, and at the end the hypnotist says tells everybody to wake up. Nada wakes up a little bit too awake, and he sees these different characters, these alien-like characters in the crowd. It's fun to see them, you know. We know the movie version of these characters, what they look like,
right?
Pretty cool. These characters much more grotesque. In the prose, they're described as kind of green reptilian flesh multiple yellow eyes. It reminds me of David Icke's Lizard People.
Dig.
All right, so once he's awake, now he's seeing these characters all over the place, and he's freaked out. Doesn't know exactly what to do. He's starting to see the subliminal messages, you know, and the signage and stuff, again, like the movie. So the concepts are consistent.
I get a strong Starenko vibe with that opening page with the title lettering and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? How about Obey, you know, being front and center?
Yeah.
You know, a big part of the story.
That's Eisnerian.
It's really good looking. He colors this too, in case I didn't say that already. But I do think this whole story looks really great.
Yeah.
So he's coming through this urban landscape, encountering these characters along the way, and his ability to see them sort of comes and goes. So he encounters this homeless guy, this wino, who he recognizes as being one of them, and then slowly turns back into a human. And so he's really questioning himself. You know, he's kind of freaking out. He doesn't want to go back to sleep. He doesn't want this to go away. Beats this guy to death.
Yeah.
And heads to his girlfriend's.
Look at those talon feet. That's sick as hell.
Yeah, that's a good call. So he goes to see his girlfriend, which is a little bit of a, I don't know, going from this page that I think of as like these realistic kind of urban landscapes to a very cartoonish girlfriend who's answering the door for him. He can't wake her up. He's trying everything. He's shaking her. He's giving her commands. He slaps her. None of it works. Like, he's kind of alone in what he's seeing. And the neighbor comes over to tell him to keep it down, and he kills him. Ties up his girlfriend and says, "Where's this neighbor live?" Goes to their house and kills his wife. Feels like they live, right?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. It's just a slightly different execution.
Here's the thing, too. Like, there are several EC Comics documentaries out there. And John Carpenter is on all of them. Just talking about his love of comics and, you know, EC in particular. But, you know, if EC goes away, these Pacific and Eclipse, they did these Erzatz anthology series that aren't that far from EC.
Yeah, for sure.
They're based on that style of comic.
Yeah, very genre short story.
Yeah.
Twist or punch kind of ending.
Where does he get those Uzis? He just goes to a room with the Uzi room?
Yeah, whenever he encounters the neighbor's apartment, there's a room, the gun room. In the short story, some of the guns are a little bit higher tech, so there's like a poison dart gun, and that's what he takes. I think maybe just for the shorthand of comics rather than trying to explain, you know, ray guns or whatever, although it's comics, science fiction comics, you could get away with that. But instead, it's more conventional kind of guns you'd see in an 80s action movie. So he heads back out, and you know what I skipped over is there's a moment where he's paranoid about being found out that he can see people. This is before he goes on killing rampages. And at one point, he's in his apartment, and the police chief calls and says, "You're going to die at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning." The name of the story, you know, comes from that. And so he has that kind of ticking, but it also sets up this relationship that, one, he thinks he's been discovered and the police are in on this and that they're after him. And so he decides, he gets a scheme that he's going to wake everybody up, which involves television. And so he calls the police and he kind of gets them chasing one direction, creates a diversion. And then he heads to this television station where he is going to go on the air and try to use their method of controlling the masses to wake the masses up.
I'm a big fan of the 12-panel page.
It's a pretty dense story.
Yeah.
You know, like, they get a lot of storytelling in here. This is page 7 where we're getting to the climax. I think it's just 8 pages total. But it's a pretty full story, you know, like they've set up this whole world, explained it, and set up his situation of like, how do I make people understand what's going on? It's so disturbing too, to think of this in contemporary times, because I feel like this is a version of every human being. Like, why don't you understand this from my point of view?
Right.
In any case, he kills the news broadcaster, which of course is one of them. And leaves the news broadcaster there and tries to imitate his cadence as he tells everybody, wake up, see us as we are and kill us. And then at 8 o'clock the next morning, dies. Almost like he wasn't totally awake. They still had that control over him. This panel, whenever he tells everybody to wake up and see them as they are, this panel of a woman having sex with one of them, that's in They Live. That's kind of at the very end credits whenever they jam the signal and people are able to see them for what they are. There's a scene of a woman having sex. So, I mean, lifted right out of here. I don't know if that's in the prose short story.
Mm.
You know, I think that might be a detail that they come up with as you're laying out a page and saying, like, what's a good illustration of this?
Right.
And that's pretty clever. A little appearance by Bill Ray, the artist. He's sitting there drawing comics going, what's going on? This low-budget crap. So it's there. You know, it's like I said, it's not the exact story, although there are some details that are exact. But the concept is completely there.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Love it, man. Love it. Like, this blew my mind when you first told me about it, showed me the comic, man. So we gotta do a video on that, man. They Live is a freaking classic.
Yeah. This Alien Encounters series ran for like 15 issues and would have these really cool painted covers. You know, all of the sci-fi kind of bend. Not of the quality, probably, of EC Comics, but some good stories throughout this run.
I will always equate these painted covers with, like, the paperback covers of that day.
Yeah, for sure. Even that spaceship kind of looks like that. Always a part of the sci-fi, especially Alien outer space paperbacks. Always, you have to have a good spaceship.
I was trying to take a look at the artist's name and to see if I could equate him with, like, the guys from... Jodorowsky's Dune, who were, like, known for painting those kinds of things, but I don't think it's the same guy.
Yeah, I don't recognize the name. It looks like Ledger, if I can read that signature correctly. But, yeah, I just don't know that world.
Yeah.
Paperback illustrator.
But we know world. The comic world.
Yes.
And excellent addition to the channel. Look at that wild shit.
Yeah, we should say quickly, the backdrop here, this is from a zine, Images from They Live by... you know, John Carpenter's 1988 movie. Piero Glina compiled and modified these images out of Zurich. I love this zine. I think it's a really cool, you know, you can kind of see it playing havoc, I think, with the screen, at least on our monitor. Fits the subject really well.
Kind of does, man. Get out of here?
Yes.
All right, kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Octobrion is in stores now. It's also available digitally on Comixology. $3 will get you the complete archive of Red Room at patreon.com/edpiscor.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
All right, Jimmy, let's throw on those Ray-Bans and get the hell out of here, man. Give them the marching orders.
Make more comics.